Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Friends, you know we always care about your performance at Fightful, and we want to keep that performance at a main event level, and you can with Blue Chew and the code Fightful. The same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a much more affordable option. Blue Chew is ready whenever you are or whenever you're not. Helps give you that extra motivation. That way you can make sure that your performance is at a championship level. You go online to BlueChew.com, and when approved by our online physicians, you get that confidence, you get that performance, and you get it shipped straight to your door. No awkward conversations with the doctor, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, all that stuff. You use that code Fightful, get your first shipment free. That's how confident that they are, that they're going to make you confident. What do you have to lose? BlueChew.com and the code Fightful. What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It is January 20th, 2025. We are one day removed from the Fightful Awards. You can see those streams, or you can hear the streams, podcast platforms everywhere, YouTube, Twitter, X, Twitch, Facebook. We got it all over the place. If you missed out on it, guys, go check it out. I don't think I'm spoiling too much. It's out there by now. But we had appearances by Stephen Borden, the son of Sting, Matt Cardona, Chelsea Green, Harley Cameron, Tony Storm, Drew McIntyre, Bronson Reed, Swerve, Prince Nana, so many others, Nigel McGuinness, Izzy, tons of people. Fraxium showed up. RJ City showed up. A whole lot of people over there. Show us some love. And also show the wonderful sponsors over there some love. But by God, we are here to talk WWE Monday Night Raw. You can see him on WrestlePurist. You can see him at Self Made. And you can see him here. By God. We got Ibu. How you doing, Ibu?
I'm doing good, man. Weird day, you know, but
a little
bit of a weird day. Bit of a weird day. But in spite of that, at the end of the day, I'm blessed to be on here. Getting paid to talk pro wrestling, which I would be doing anyway if I didn't get money. So at the end of the day, you know what I mean? Like,
that's I often think. I'm like, you know, maybe I should, like, when I deal with weirdos, I'm like, should I quit? And then I'm like, wait, if I worked at an Amazon factory, I would come home and probably just talk about pro wrestling and football. So,
I would just keep doing it. Exactly. I think about that sometimes and it's like, you know, it could be worse. So, yeah, man, I'm doing pretty good. Yes. Honestly, I'm happy to be on here. I love doing these Raw reviews. It's been a blessing. It's been an awesome first month so far, and I've loved how welcoming not only the Fightful team has been to me, but the Fightful audience, which I told my friend this as a quick aside. They were like, how did you do on the show on the first one? I was like, yeah, I think it was okay. And I told him, I was like, I don't think I know what the Fightful audience is. It's weird. I feel like it's like a wrestler going into a new environment and trying to figure out what gets over and stuff. It's just fascinating. But it's been a fun first month. You've been an awesome co-host, Sean Rossap. I'm really blessed to be on here. And we got another good episode of Monday Night Raw.
Hold on. That's not why you got hired. You got hired.
Yes.
Because you hate this show.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm told.
You were like, oh, man, we're going to get Ibu because he hates WWE.
Yes. Because I don't already have a perfectly good Alex Pawlowski
to just shit on Raw.
To just shit on Raw.
You were like, hey man, so I need a guy to shit on Raw. Can you do that? And I was like, oh man, I do that every day. You know, and I just
But this time I need a Knicks fan. I can't have a Bucks fan do it.
Oh, absolutely.
My God.
Speaking of the Knicks, they won today on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So shout out to them. Yeah. A wildly inconsistent team that drives me to drink. But yeah,
you know who didn't win on Martin Luther King Day? That's Cope, a.k.a. Edge, because he refused to wrestle on Martin Luther King Day because Arizona was one of the last states to recognize it. So he would not wrestle in front of the bigots of that city.
My favorite thing about the Ruthless Aggression era is when heels say very socially sensible things and it's passed off heel yes. work. Muhammad yes. Hassan is like, I'm sick of bigotry, and people are like,
oh my god. So I did, like, really what put me on the map as getting exclusives. I'll do a full video on this, but it was like late 2015 and I worked for Wrestling Inc. and I was like, man, I really want to tell the Muhammad Hassan story, but like, how do I even go about contacting this guy?
You have a Muhammad Hassan story?
And yeah, I contacted an egg avatar Twitter with 10 followers, and it was him. It was actually him. We sat down, we did the full interview, and it was the first interview that he did about wrestling since he had left. He and Sean Devari had completely lost touch. I contacted Sean Devari for it. We've reposted it on Fightful in case everybody wants to check it out. It's called Finding Muhammad Hassan. And then we did a follow-up like 6 months later. But like, it was pretty fucked up, the stuff that I was finding out throughout this. Like, I had wrestlers that were like, yeah, if it were today, he would have made it. He's like, but back then, he would walk in after he had pissed off the locker room, and he goes, guys, I got your bar bill at the airport, and guys would order shots and pour them out, and then order shots and pour them out just to rack up his bills. It's insane.
Very
stuff. Like
the rest of the industry and some of those old stories just blow your mind. You know, it's absolutely a very different industry in many respects. A different industry in the sense that we didn't watch this on cable, Sean. We're getting old, man. Times are changing. We watched this on Netflix, you know, like, it just, so much is changing, and you got to just kind of get used to it or get swept up. Raw Tonight was in Netflix in Dallas, Texas, another huge house, and good action. You know what I've noticed?
Yeah.
Sean, on these podcasts, I kept saying, like, man, I really want to know what these commercials are going to be like. I was like, well, how are these commercials? Are they going to be invasive? Because my whole thing was, dude, I like wrestling. I like watching the match. You know what I mean? I don't want to just watch the beginning and then Raw rolls on and then watch the finish, right? And I've noticed, Sean, you are putting these rundowns up and it'll say things like two segment. And if you speak Fightfulese, you know what that means, right? But now Netflix is redefining what some of these things mean. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because a Netflix two segment match is not the same as a USA Network or a Fox two segment match.
Accurate.
When you put on the rundown that everything is two segments except for that women's match, back pre-Netflix, you know what that would have meant, Sean?
A lot of squash.
8 minute matches, and the one segment would have meant squash or angle. I saw the women's match listed on there as one, and I said, okay, this is going to be an angle. They had a nice little match. Well, like, what, 5, 6, 7 minutes?
I saw something for the first time that I've ever seen on a rundown today, too. It was like a 1.5 segment match. So they had Penta and Pete Dunne, and you guys can read these over at FightfulSelect.com. Best $6 a month in the business, $64 a year. Subscribe. I'll tell you more about that shortly. But like, there were two segment matches. That last week Penta's was one, but it's just because it meant no commercials. Didn't mean like a certain amount of time, which maybe that's what it's meant all along. I've never personally asked. Maybe I should. Yeah. But this one, the Penta match today, was like 1.5, so it had segment, say, 8, Penta versus Pete Dunne. Then segment 9 was Penta versus Pete Dunne / CM Punk in arena interview. So that's one that I haven't seen. Or if I have seen it, it didn't at least catch my eye to that degree. But
yeah,
we got a lot of good.
I'm digging the format of this show.
I am too. We got a lot of good stuff on FightfulSelect.com and Fightful in general. Listen, I know we put some stuff behind the paywall, but we got more free content than any wrestling website in history as well, from articles to podcasts. If you want to see me go off about Tessa Blanchard on last night's post-TNA show, I offered you guys more insight into what happened and what didn't happen than anywhere you could possibly see. So check out that TNA Genesis post show for a very good TNA Genesis. We had updates on PCO, TNA, and GCW. We had the Raw Scoops thread. Corey Brennan had an Ilya Dragunov update today. We had details on Jordan Grace, Josh Alexander. I got some more info on that, but we had updates on the Double or Nothing location, AEW UK viewership, which is like they're doing some of their best viewership in recent years in the UK right now. On Saturday, we had the Tessa Blanchard update that I don't know why why the hell she's claiming she's not under contract, because she is. She absolutely is. And much, much more. Make sure you guys check that out this week here on Fightful on our YouTube channel. Interviews with Swoggle, a.k.a. Hornswoggle, and Missa Kate, who has been all over the indies, has done a lot of great stuff there. But let's talk WWE Monday Night Raw. What's that? What's that, Eboo?
No, I just said, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. By God. Luis, he's collecting all our super chats and humper chats. Get them in here on youtube.com/Fightful or humperchats.com. Andy says 2024 Stellar Rumble build was built around Punk's interactions with the top guys. 2025 is even better and fully capitalizing on the interconnected universe. Lots of moving parts. Very strong Raw. They are loading this WWE Royal Rumble up. Like, this men's Royal Rumble is, like, I want them to go, it's too late now, but, like, if this had a DVD cover, I would want it to be the old school, like, animated version with all the big stars on the front of it. Like, that was so incredible, but they're really going above and beyond. And Ryan's, to your credit about the ad breaks and stuff like that, they're doing stuff in between these for the international viewers. And he says, they've used the in-crowd interviews extremely well. Cross saying to not believe Sammy moments before. Ludwig Penta set up. Punk eviscerating Hulk. Yeah, there's I'm not exactly sure what the American audience sees, because I watch via that Nord VPN that I'll tell you guys later.
Oh, but, my.
But, yeah. Man, oh, gosh. I'll address this. Sean, how come there is an SRS versus Air Gold space with no SRS? Because he is insincere. That's like, I was never asked to do that. I never would have done that. I said what I needed to say. And I had issues with things being thrown out there. One, that weren't cited, and previously that were inaccurate. And listen, I have made my career on being accurate and honest. So I take exception to when people do that. And that's where I'll leave that.
Yeah, you're big on your reporting. If it's going to be aggregated, there's a way to do it. You know? And you're very particular about it, and you've made it very clear. And it's not just him, so it's not like you're picking on him. But in general, you very much are. You're the guy that will reach out to people that will aggregate your posts and say, hey, man, can you cite this? Or, hey, man, can you link that? Or, hey, man, can you include this? You put this in the thing, because that's what I reported.
For full disclosure, guys, I mean, this is something, if I don't expect everybody to have taken a media ethics class, but it's something you learn in the first couple days. Mm-hmm. You link, you source, you cite, and that means whoever you got this news from, you provide a link back or a way to get back to them somehow, whether it be tagging it, whether it be posting a link, even if it's like, for example, WrestlePurist does an article covering it, they've got a link in that article. Yep. I mean, there are some websites that don't do that, and we added a new policy where if we find out what your Patreon account is and you're doing that, we're just going to nuke your Patreon account. Like, we
and you, don't. As you should.
Yeah. Yeah, the person who does the legwork deserves at least some sort of kickback for what's going on there. And if you say, well, I'm not a journalist, I don't care. You're using the news. You're using it for engagement. You got a blue check and you're doing it for that reason. You need to be tagging. You need to be linking beyond that. So you at least have some plausible deniability if that stuff is inevitably untrue and people aren't pointing at you.
But, and I don't think that's a tough ask, to be honest with you. If you want to play that game, then at least be slightly responsible about it. You know, I don't think that's a tough ask. It doesn't make you a fucking asshole to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, listen, I went at WrestleOps for it a little bit last week. And listen, like, good on WrestleOps for developing that audience and stuff. But dude did it off the back of everybody else's work. There was no original work there. So when I see anybody consistently not linked to or credited on that, I'm like, well, why? Like, why shouldn't, like, you posted your WWE shop affiliate payouts in the past, which have been huge. Lovely. a lot more than I was making as a wrestling writer working, you know, 50-60 hours a week at stages of my career. So they should deserve that link back, especially for an account like Ops that does not have a website You're not providing jobs to anybody. Like when people would come to me and they'd say, oh, like WrestlePurist, I'm like, oh no, not like WrestlePurist. WrestlePurist was providing podcasts, platforms for people to write on, a lot of things like that. It's not one dude. And it's not me trying to pick on anybody. And that's what those accounts will always say if I reach out to them. They're like, well, why are you just coming at? No, it's not just me coming at you. It's me telling all these people. And here's what one person said. I thought he credited PW Insider. Am I wrong? How does PW Insider benefit from that? It is linking back. And that's what this person says. So to explain to you guys the difference, and I promise we will stop boring you. It's one thing to say, this is, you know, it's PW Insider. And listen, nobody bats a thousand on it. I didn't used to do it as well as I could. But I mean, in this day of engagement farming, like that's the right thing to do is to tag them. And I had somebody try to say, well, how does that benefit PW Insider? I don't know. How does it benefit PW Insider to get their engagement numbers up, to be involved in every reply that replies to that story? Well, it boosts their algorithm. Mm-hmm. That way, Twitter is more likely to show their original story as opposed to an aggregated story down the line. But a lot of these accounts like to play that game. I wish it was like Instagram, where I will point people to Chris Van Vliet's Instagram, because Chris Van Vliet like effectively allows people to make edits of his interviews and they tag him as a collaborator. And as a result, he gets as much love as they do from it. And I think that's important when people are creating work. Aggregation is necessary in media and wrestling, but you should do it responsibly. And media evolves. Like there's a whole lot of people that think that just the mention is enough. And I understand that, but that's because social media these days has kind of conditioned you that it's enough. It's not, especially for the people creating. And I tell you that as a guy who's reporting a lot of that. That's been my rant. Subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Let's talk.
I thought it was a great one. I thought everything you said was super fair, and you're not being a jerk about anything. Yeah. I think it's very, very fair and reasonable. And I'm personally glad you had it.
Somebody says, confirm or add to PWI's Britt Baker report. I don't know what PWI reported. I know Pro Wrestling Torch reported some of it. But yes. I will say this. It was being downplayed within AEW today, and Britt was surprised to hear it, because it was news to her. So I can't really add much to it now outside of she was surprised, and usually she's not afraid to be outspoken about stuff.
Yep.
We kicked off with Michael Cole and Wade Barrett ringside. No Corey Graves this week. We have not talked to you since the Corey Graves thing really exploded, and it is not a work. Like, we wondered how that would play out, but Corey's very frustrated. I understand why. He's bent over backwards for them. Monday night, Friday night, color commentary, play-by-play commentary. He's done a little bit of it all. Where do you stand on what we heard out of Corey Graves and how it's unfolded over the last week?
I would say that he is allowed to feel frustrated about the situation, because, I mean, at the end of the day, if you've been a commentator for as long as he has in WWE, and then you get told, well, McAfee's here now, so we're going to reshuffle the deck and you're doing NXT. I think it's fair to be upset about that. Would I have handled it the way he did? I mean, look, I could ask that question, but I could also say perhaps he had a conversation of some kind privately before he decided to go public. So
sure.
For all those multitudes of reasons, I looked at it and I just said, look, the guy's pissed. I get why he's pissed. WWE is going to obviously prioritize Pat for the reasons that they do, which I also understand. I mean, at the end of the day, he's one of the biggest shows on ESPN. So I understand why they are going in the direction that they're going in. It's not an ideal situation. And I know Levesque doesn't like doing three-person booths on commentary. That was explicitly explained to me. But I think out of a bad situation, maybe the more reasonable thing would have been to just temporarily do a three-person booth on SmackDown with Corey Graves inside of it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like Corey Graves is just some unknown. He's been doing this for a decade at this point. So they bring out Jey Uso, who was interrupted by Gunther, but Jey Uso is just impossibly over. It is
ridiculous.
It is insane how impossibly over it is. And how a press conference got him even more over. Just showing up after a few drinks and yelling yeet into the microphone has helped his career immensely. Gunther interrupts him and says that he's going to prove that Jey Uso doesn't belong anywhere near the championship, and called him a mascot, of which Jey Uso goes, you're right. Yeah, I am a mascot. And this is my team. They got my back, et cetera. And a very over promo to set up what is inevitably Gunther winning at Saturday night's main event this weekend. Not a lot of intrigue in that. I am more intrigued as to what happens when Jey Uso loses, because right. he is in this situation where, of course, he's been Intercontinental Champion, but he has never cracked that world title. And right now, I don't see it in the cards, like, as things stand.
No, I don't either. I thought the segment was fine. Jey Uso, like you said, is impossibly over. I'd like to see Gunther do something that's, like, interesting again. I think right now it's I think his reign stagnated once he got to the late part of last year, was stuck with the Judgment Day stuff, and now this, it just kind of feels like a formality, this matchup, right? It's fine, though. It's going to be blown off this Saturday. The question is, what do we do next? And to your point about Jey Uso, what happens with Jey? Because I wonder if, like, is a Bloodline member going to get involved and rope him back into that? Is he just simply going to lose and then... Like, there's a couple directions where this can go. He had an interaction with the New Day a couple weeks ago that seemed to plant a seed there with some stuff. It seems like there's a lot of loose threads with Jey Uso at the moment. Is he going to deal with Drew? Is he going to go back to his family? Is he going to deal with this guy or that guy? So, with both him and Gunther, I think that their futures, at least in the immediate sense, in the next few weeks, is a bit hazy. So I'm curious what they do. Sometimes when people's futures are hazy, Sean, what they end up doing is, well, just do pre-tapes for a couple weeks, or there's backstage just talking to people and shit. Look at fucking Bron Breakker. Bron Breakker's last month was just, you know, just backstage, like, you know, Jackie, you know, if the dogs are barking, I'll just bark back to them, you know? And then some guy, it's like, can something happen? You know, so we'll see what happens with Jey Uso and Gunther.
Assuming Jey Uso loses, which he will.
Yes.
It'd be, I think, his sixth straight world title match that he has lost in. Now, granted, a couple of those were way back in, like, I think, 2020 or something like that. And then he lost to Damian Priest, to Seth Rollins. He lost to Roman Reigns last year. He lost, or I can't remember if that was for the title. I felt like it was. Last year.
Which match? The Jey Uso?
It was Seth Rollins. No. Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, Tribal Combat last year, SummerSlam. Yeah. Yes. So he will have lost to Gunther, to Rollins, to Priest, and to Reigns during that.
Yeah.
There's a backstage segment with New Day and JBL. and they're like, finally, somebody that gets us. And they talked about how JBL... got rid of his dead weight and became a big star. And JBL's like, you know what? I don't blame you guys for doing what you did. There's this guy with all this charisma and all these muscles and everybody loves him. And if you kick him to the curb, now they'll have to pay attention to you. I understand. And they're like, yeah, okay, we hear you. By the way, nice hat, which is like the comments that Xavier's making as he walks away are probably some of my favorite. Not as much about the segment. What are you making of this JBL run of 2024, 2025? He was at TNA last night. He's here. He's here tonight. They weren't that far off, by the way. I was expecting maybe another TNA talent sitting front row or something like that.
Right.
To be shown. What are you making of JBL?
To that point, like, yeah, I could have easily seen a situation where like, just whoever it
Masha.
Is. It's just like waving and stuff, and it's like, it's the TNA Knockouts champion.
Would have been a cool 1,000 retweets for the clip I would have posted right there.
Right, and McAfee would have been like, Masha's bringing the impact to Monday Night Raw, you know. But JBL is killing me right now because it feels like, Sean, he just decided, I like wrestling again, and I'm just going to put myself out there and just do shit. He's just doing shit. GCW, Impact, shown up on Raw. He was advertised for this Raw, weirdly, and it's very clear, like, they didn't really figure out what he was even going to do when they made that advertisement, because they framed it like it might be a seg, and he just kind of, like, passed by the New Day, and was kind of like, you guys are jackasses, and, like, walks off, and it's like, all right, cool. Not complaining, by the way, but JBL's 2024-2025, I'm afraid, Sean, it needs to end with a wrestling match. It kind of has
to. It does.
I feel like it needs to end with a wrestling match.
And I don't think it can end with Effie as of right now, because he's the champ in GCW. I don't know listen, I feel like JBL can get in there and have a meat match. I think he can have a knock the shit out of somebody match.
He could definitely just have a fucking chop battle fucking brawl with someone.
Don't bump, just chop, punch, kick.
But if you want to bump John Layfield, listen, man, run the blade, go through a table. You know what I mean? Random Saturday with Joey Janela. Just do it. You know, I'm not gonna judge you. I'll post a clip. You know, I think you should go for it. You only live once, right, Sean?
That's true. That's true. Unless you're Rey Mysterio, of which your knees have 9 lives.
Oh, my goodness.
Buddy, I need those stem cells right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want Kevin Nash to get the stem cells. That way he can throw out a couple more jackknives or something. Maybe yeah. JBL got. Did somebody said he just got the stem cell? That's wow. What's happening. Oh, buddy.
He's going to wrestle.
We're about to see a match that's better than Justin Hawk Bradshaw in 1996 then.
Probably.
That's what we're going to see.
I'm locked in, Sean.
Oh, my God. I am blurry. Listen, I got the most expensive webcam on the market, and it's the only one that does this. Go figure.
Sharp it up. Oh, we're back.
There we go. But Rey Mysterio did defeat Kofi Kingston. So despite the New Day's new attitude, it's not necessarily a situation where they are winning a ton of matches as a result. It's just at least getting them heat along the way. Listen, I like this match. I can't believe that this is the almost 50-year-old guy against like the 40-something-year-old guy, when like 25, 30 years ago, we're talking about Larry Zbysko and Roddy Piper like stealing all the oxygen out of WCW arenas.
Yeah.
This
wrestlers are lasting
behind.
Longer and they're staying good for a longer period of time. Rey Mysterio was just ageless. This guy is the master of just having a nice TV match. This crowd loves him. I think this was the hottest match on the show when it comes to heat. And man, just seeing him do his thing, it's just nice to sit back and observe. Sean, let me put you on game to something. I have this saying that I like to say with my people, with my community, with my brother, Joe Hulbert. We call certain matches wine matches and certain wrestlers wine wrestlers.
Yes.
You see, the key tenet of a wine wrestler, Sean, and there's many things, and it's never been clearly defined because you kind of just have to get it. But Rey Mysterio is the master of being a wine wrestler. One of the things with him is if you can give him a 10-minute TV match where he just has this nice little shine and he's getting the heat on him and he makes his comeback and you watch it and it's the same comeback you've seen for fucking 20 years, but you're just like, ah. Pristine every time.
Oh, look at that. You can swirl and check for sediment to that for sure.
You could just shake the glass, you know what I mean, as he does his little crossbody thing. You know, he does that. He springboards, turns around, boom. Yeah, they understand. Rey Mysterio.
You understand. Wine is over right now.
Wine is over. And Rey Mysterio is the embodiment of wine. Sean, I'm watching this match, and I'm like, oh, man. No one can do a 3.25 like Rey Mysterio. Let me tell you.
If you're in the live chat or if you're in the comments after this, because I come to the comments every morning after the show or every couple days, let us know who you would consider a wine wrestler. I'm sure Abu would love to know that as well. See if it varies from our audience to the one that you are.
Right. And I can, if anything, see as a council member here, as a council member of the wine council, I can correct people if they misdiagnose certain people as wine wrestlers. Because here's the thing. There's wine wrestlers. They're champagne wrestlers. It's a very big difference. You know what I mean? Champagne is glorious. It's bombastic. It's boisterous. It's loud. Kenny Omega is a champagne wrestler. You know what I mean? Wine, I want to mellow. I want to just kind of chill out, sit back, watch my 3.25. That's really well worked. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
You can't do too much. You know what I'm saying? Randy Orton, wine wrestler. Oh my God. Two segment Randy Orton, power slam, draping DDT. Oh, baby.
Will says it's crazy how I fell in love with Rey Mysterio when I was a kid, and my 7-year-old daughter is the same age and she loves him. I mean, this is something I brought up. Like, for example, if I'm at a media event or something, and for example, Keldon Johnson's there at the Boys and Girls Club, and he comes by and he'll do media and stuff with WWE, and we go, "Who's your favorite wrestler?" I feel like if there are 10 celebrities and any of them name a current wrestler, it's Rey Mysterio. They grew up on Rey Mysterio, and he is the legend to them. He's not done anything to make you question him at all. He's almost like the Ken Griffey Jr. of pro wrestling. Like, there's no scandals. There's nothing controversial. He's consistent. And even when he was quote-unquote bad, he was still good.
Rey Mysterio is just—he's
timeless.
Yeah, forever, eternal.
Here's one you can handle. Mike says Lashley Swerve having creative differences. Legit.
It's less a issue. There's no issue. Their storyline has been halted, and they've both gone in different directions, as you guys can see by watching television. And the fact of the matter is, the reality is,
it is. Sorry, I'm seeing everybody saying Ilya is a whiskey wrestler, an Everclear wrestler,
moonshine yes, vodka, yes, yeah, yes. He's a steak wrestler. He's a moonshine wrestler. You know, he's whatever you're consuming when you watch Ilya makes you want to fight somebody. You know what I mean?
Listen, I people love the wine wrestlers. I'm a Will Ospreay guy. He's a scissor wrestler at this point. Like, he's balls to the wall. That's what I.
He's an acid wrestler. He's a fucking. Yes. You know?
Yes.
Yeah. Man.
American made cut a promo. Chad Gable's getting help from Dom. I like that they've made this thing where he struggled with lucha wrestlers and he's going after the least lucha wrestler possible. Let me tell you something.
Hey, expert in lucha libre Dominic. It's like.
What? Yes, but let me tell you what pisses me off. I love American Made. I really do. I like them rock. As human beings. I like them as performers. I like them as professional wrestlers. You got the Creed saying, yeah, and we're coming after those tag titles. And Ivy Niles like, and I'm coming after that Intercontinental title. Yeah. And under any other circumstance, I'd go, good. Creeds have one win in 4 months.
Right.
Ivy Nile has like one singles win on Raw in like the last 11 months.
Yeah.
Nia Jax rolled into a show she doesn't belong on and set up her title match, I think, before she even won. And I'll rant about that later. But I'm just, like, give them some goddamn wins.
I just realized. So here's the thing. I'm okay with wrestlers having goals, championship goals, even if they didn't win. But this does mean that promo works if it's a roadmap, meaning
I agree.
This is what we want, and now we will work towards it. And then in the next coming weeks, we will win and get momentum. That's good. It's bad if they're going, we want this in the next week. It's like Adam Pearce is like, all right, it is official. Next week, Ivy Nile versus Lyra. And it's like, what the fuck did she do?
But he's so easily baited, right? Like, all you got to do to get your match is attack somebody backstage and then promise you will cease doing it.
Oh, listen.
If he gives you what you want.
If you want a match made in WWE, right, and you're on Raw, just get into a fight in front of Adam Pearce, and he'll just be like, enough, not in my house. We're doing this now. It's official. And if it's NXT, you just got to, like, exist. You gotta like ask for it or like fucking lose a match. Honestly, if you want a title shot in NXT, lose a match. You know what I mean?
Yes.
lose a
and also
match.
A thing I forgot about, New Day attacked Rey Mysterio. Like very clearly he was supposed to have Penta debut with him, and now they've just like completely abandoned that.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know so the other guys made the save, Del Toro and Joaquin, right?
Yeah.
No Dragon Lee. Do you know what that's all about? He's been at TV the previous weeks. He was shown with the LWO those weeks. What's the
I will I do not know, but I will ask. But man, that's, listen, there's plenty of people. I'll say this. There's a lot of things I see on this show that I don't see the same bad faith actors calling out on social media that they would otherwise. Because everybody swore up and down that, that Dragon Lee was about to get like the most life-changing push of all time by signing with WWE. And it's been a bad run.
I thought his NXT stuff was good. I thought the like first 3 months rollout on SmackDown was good. Pretty much from the start of 2024 to now, I don't know what's going on. You know, why he's being treated like Kalisto. It's very strange. People think maybe there's conjecture about maybe it just being about the birth of his child or something. I guess, look, you'll work to get the official wording on that. So I hope it's just like, I'd rather be that than like some weird thing. Like we just didn't bring him to TV, which would be weird. But even with that notwithstanding, it's just been a run that shouldn't be this underwhelming. You know what I mean? Like this is a spectacular professional wrestler, a great signing that they made almost 3 years ago now. I'd like to see him on the show.
Was it 3 years ago?
Well,
my God, you're right.
2022. It was some point in 2022.
Yeah. I mean, it was wild
right before the hiring
freeze. It was wild to me to realize like that Nathan Frazier signed over 4 years ago. Because if you remember, he had that breakout match on the Dynamite after the NBA show where they had, I think it was a match against Scorpio Sky that like or somebody like that. And I'm like, God damn, man. And gosh, he's been there for 4 years now too. Like time is flying right now.
He is having a better run than Dragon Lee though.
I'll say he is.
Frazier's doing great. He's doing great.
Yes. Yeah. He's doing awesome. Fightful award winner, by the way. Yeah. Nia attacks Rhea backstage. And then Bayley says she's in the Royal Rumble and she is approached by Nia, who for some reason is on this show. Now I just want to say I've given WWE an awful lot of leeway on the brand split, and they're throwing out the transfer window. Well, then why did Bayley need to officially move to Raw?
It's very amusing. Like I said, the transfer window is pretty sloppy in terms of how it works. It feels like they didn't want to be detailed on it because they wanted the flexibility on a week-to-week basis to just book what they want. Truthfully, it feels like that's what it is. It's like, fuck, we need a main event this week. Let's just have Drew on SmackDown this week. We need a match for this. Let's just bring Ray to SmackDown and that kind of thing. And, you know, I like matchup versatility in that way. But, again, it's like a lot of other things on this show are pretty detail-oriented in terms of, like, how it's explained, how it's set up. There's a universe with its own logic and rules for a lot of the things on the show. One of the things that does not apply to is this transfer window and how people just show up, have matches, and then they set up another match, and it's like, oh, so they're on Raw now? No, they just happen to be here. It's like, how does this work then? Why is Bayley negotiating for weeks with Adam Beast? Does she have an agent or something? And they're like signing a like it's very strange. And to your point, the Nia stuff is like when you actually think about it, it's like, wait, that's a good point. Is she on Raw now? Is that just a thing?
And somebody says, didn't they say she transferred last week? Man, listen, somebody says it reeks of the wild card rule. Reeks of when WWE, pardon me, like between 2019 and the middle of 2020, or it was 2018 and 2019, they'd be like, oh, well, here's the wild card rule. Hey, we're going to bring up six NXT talent that we have no plans for whatsoever, to the point to where Nikki Cross's whole gimmick for the first 2 months was nobody notices me. Guys, stop sending super chats about weird people. We ain't reading them. But they were like, we're gonna turn the lights out for the third.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance, but a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in / promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Hour of Raw, and then it'll be different, and it wasn't different whatsoever.
You know what's funny?
No more commercial breaks during during all this stuff. Like, it was, it's,
like, you know, you want to know what's the funniest part about all this, Sean?
Is what's that?
I have a sneaking suspicion that they're going to form a stable, a heel stable with Kevin Owens, Drew McIntyre, and Seth Rollins.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
And here's the thing about this trio of people. They will be in the crossroads of people like Sami Zayn and Jey Uso, perhaps CM Punk. But what's going to be funny about this group, Sean, is you mean to tell me they're not going to use that group on both fucking shows? Yes, they will.
Yeah, of course.
And tell us that you are. Because here's the thing. Some of them are going to be credited to a different brand, and it'll be on Raw, and one of you will be on SmackDown. And what are you going to say in March? The transfer window continues. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you something, Joe Testa. I've heard a lot about this new transfer, and it's like May. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Dude?
How long is this fucking window? This is a wide open window. It's getting cold in the house.
What was the other one? It was the brand to brand
exchange. Oh, there's a funny word for it. That brand was hilarious.
Oh my God. Brand to brand invitation. That's what it was.
That was one of those weird Vince pandemic, like, this is a thing I'm doing now.
Yeah. I kept track of them for a while, and then it became a joke, and then people were like, man, we're just never gonna do this again. Volob says it's gonna be called Sword. Oh man, like, it's, what the hell are we doing here? Like, just make it mean something. Again, if this happened elsewhere, there'd be a lot more people criticizing it. But what I'll say is, I'm pleased that at least on social media, when I call this out, like during the WWE's worst creative era, if I called this out, I was getting buried on social media for it. Now, at least people are like, yeah, it's kind of bullshit, man. It's kind of ridiculous.
Well, because here's the thing, Sean. We're all grown adults. We don't want to have our intelligence insulted. And at the end of the day, we need to hold these companies to some standard of some kind, because if you do, you get better quality product, and then you get to enjoy wrestling more. Because I don't care about what anyone else says. You know, some people are like, stop being critical. Just enjoy it. Well, for me to enjoy something, I have to like feel like what I'm watching is not stupid.
Not insulting our intelligence. That's the baseline. Correct. I will probably enjoy it. WWE doesn't have a lot of actively terrible matches. They're at least usually, all right, it happened. But speaking of Nia Jax and Bayley, I think they had a pretty good match, but you're beating the person that you just made a big deal out of moving to Monday Night Raw on Monday Night Raw after she lost her way out of SmackDown by putting over the champion, as she should. Afterwards, Rhea Ripley challenged Jax for Saturday night's main event. We didn't get word if it was a title match or anything, but Will Chisholm says it was Bayley and Nia's best match. Thank God. How'd you feel about this one?
Super heated. Last few minutes was really, really well done. I struggled to get interested in this because I'm tired of watching these two wrestle, quite frankly. And I said this, I think, last week, but I don't watch Raw to see the SmackDown Women's Division just transported into Raw. But with that said, I thought this was a very, very strong match. Great heat. It was nice to see Roxanne there. I'd love to see Bayley and Roxanne mix it up at Mania, hopefully. Hopefully they do it at Mania, not a throwaway TV on of NXT or some shit. You know, which I'm sure Sean would be so tempted. Hey Hunter, I was just thinking maybe this week we pop a number and da-da-da, you know what I mean? But please don't do that. Yeah, I thought it was a good match.
Yeah, I did too. It's one of those where I'm like, all right, well, I'm glad Bayley's in the Royal Rumble also. They did say it would be a world championship graphic at the end of the show. They went very aggressive, like the brawl, the pull apart, which WWE...
That was a good angle. That was a good angle.
I don't want them to rely on it too much because they are doing that a lot these days. Braun and Bronson was the whole feud. Bronson and Seth was the whole feud. Rhea and Liv started to become that a lot. I don't want them to rely on it, but it's something that they didn't use enough for a while. They didn't make you think that they wanted to fight enough, and now they are doing that. Saturday night's main event builds are starting to be what I largely expect out of Saturday night's main event, where they're like, yeah, we've decided to do this match this week.
Where it's like 1 to 2 weeks, because a month out, there's no card. 2 weeks out, and it's just like, fuck you, yeah. Saturday's main event. And it's like, all right, boom. Dun, 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 dun. And he puts the fucking
yes.
I'll say this, though. Rhea Ripley's awesome at these types of angles.
She's great.
I don't enjoy Rhea Ripley opening the show and going, welcome to Monday Night Raw. Now, obviously, she doesn't do it in that hokey game show voice, but that's the format that they fit a lot of people into. You open the show, welcome to Raw, and you have your little your speech. The truth is, some people just have different skill sets, and Rhea Ripley, that's not her forte. Rhea Ripley's forte is physicality and yes. feistiness and anger and all that type of stuff. And so, her in a disorderly and chaotic situation like this with Nia Jax, and people are holding her back, and she's fired up. That's awesome. So that level of like passion and chaos, that was well done, and that's why it's funny. I'm seeing this Nia Rhea thing, and I'm like, I've seen this before. You know, it's been a year, but I've seen this before. Then they're fighting like that, and then they booked it for the special, the NBC special, and I said, all right, okay. But to your point, that is going to be something that they need to look at. So that, like, for example, when we're on the fifth one of these, you don't want to have an apathetic feeling as a fan of like, this is fucking Saturday Night's Main Event. You know, so I'm curious to see how they try to make this feel like it matters by the fifth one. You know?
Yeah. And I mean, listen, Braun Strowman and Jacob Fatu is one of those matches they just threw together, but I'm pumped for it. I'll be in Las Vegas this Saturday. In Las Vegas this Saturday, I'll have my phone out, peeping that out. And listen, I got to be real. You know what I'm going to watch it on?
What are you going to watch it on?
That Nord. There's no sponsor that I use more while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. Man, this is like the Swiss Army knife, the multi-tool of applications. It does a little bit of everything. You always get a great deal at NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can listen to your favorites abroad. You can shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on public Wi-Fi, and it works on all your devices and operating systems. It doesn't end there. Change your virtual location and then get pay-per-views at a much more affordable price, TV services at a much more affordable price. You got a password manager, a file encryption tool, threat protections, and on top of that, 24/7 tech support. So if for some reason you don't know exactly how it works, NordVPN.com/Fightful will help you learn how to do it. Check it out, NordVPN.com/Fightful. And obviously, guys, I've mentioned this before. I'm going to get some pre-recorded reads as well. NordVPN.com/Fightful. If you only have like cable for wrestling, if you're like, well, I still want to be able to watch WWE SmackDown, and you've got a Max subscription, so you got that all set for your AEW. Change your virtual location with NordVPN to the UK like I do. I watch WWE Raw without commercials every week. I get to see all the cool stuff that happens in between. I watch NXT on that show.
How's the commercial break wrestling for this Netflix Raw? Do they do anything, or is it just heat? Like
It's not as like they're out of the slap on a cross face and headlock era. Yeah. Sometimes they'll do it, but I mean, Denise said that she got in a bind and had to watch NXT, and NordVPN helped her out. SmackDown is on Netflix overseas as well. It's a great application. We greatly thank Nord, and I want to thank Nord for sponsoring the Fightful Awards. Those sons of bitches are very expensive, and Nord helped us out. I think about like six of them they ended up paying for, so big thank you to Nord. Nicholas says, who do you think faces Rhea at Mania? I would love Io. I'd also love to see Roxanne get an instant push on after NXT or even Jordan Grace. Well, they certainly seem to be leaning towards like maybe they'll run into Roxanne and Bayley. I think whoever Rhea faces, it's going to be something marquee because you're going to have a whole lot of casuals that know Rhea from their Instagram explore page watching this show.
I know what I want it to be, Sean, and I want it to be Io Sky, someone who wrestled later tonight, and I thought looked unbelievable.
Let's talk about that match. Damage Control defeated Pure Fusion Collective. I thought Zoe looked great tonight as well.
She's very good. I've been saying this for weeks, and people kind of like dismiss it. You know, this group gets a lot of shit, this Pure Fusion Collective group, right? And their run hasn't been great.
No.
But I don't think it's because they're bad wrestlers. I think Zoe Stark is very good. I think Shayna Baszler is a very nice pro. I think she's a very solid pro. They're just not over. You know, they're just not over, and they got to figure out what that thing is. And I don't even have the answer to you as to what that would be that would make people care about them. But I'll tell you what, when they work people who are over, like Dakota and Io, it's lovely to watch. No commercial breaks for this one, Sean. Even on the American feed, no commercial break. They just had a nice tag team wrestling match, start to finish. Heavy heat on Dakota Kai. Io Sky comes in, is unbelievable, a ball of fucking fire. You know what she is, Sean Rossap? Because of her energy, because of how succinct her approach is, because of how dynamic she is, because of the fact that she's the king of the 3.5-star match, Sean Rossap, Io Sky is a wine wrestler. I watch Io, and I watch that little like front forward flippy thing that she does when she celebrates, and the missile drop kick and the moonsault. I'm like, let me get my grapes. You know what I mean?
I practiced the front flippy thing a lot as I was training for my Shaza match last year.
You're a master at that. You do it just as good as Io.
I practiced it. I was not good at it, but I did practice it. Listen, I agree. I wonder how much a Pure Fusion Collective is what the vision was, because originally Natalya was going to be in it.
Yeah,
she was going to be in it, and she was going to be heel. And now, like, I mean, not to make this a Natalya thing, but I'm like, they re-signed her, and she was willing to take time off or go elsewhere. She was very adamant that she wanted to be on TV and wanted to do stuff, and she's had 11 matches in the 6-7 months since she's been back and is not involved with Pure Fusion Collective whatsoever. They got her relegated to main event and speed. I don't know. And Damage Control kind of stays over just because they had that monster push as well. And they've got good talent.
Because Io Sky is incredible. That's why.
She is incredible. She is. Will Chisholm says, what kind of wrestler is Io when she's back in Japan?
Champagne
wrestler. Okay. Listen, I don't feel appropriate to really throw them out because I've never drank before. I've never, never ever, but, I'll drink to this. Oh. Sami Zayn comes out.
Woo!
And this is what we've been waiting for. This is what we came for.
Oh
my God. Hey.
Brother, when he starts talking about the Rumble, I'm like, yeah, this is cool, you know. And I hear the da 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 da. I was like,
Listen, buddy. Calvin Harris and Rihanna wrote a song about this segment. It's called This is What You Came For back in the day. It was a hit. This is what we've been waiting for. This is the moment that all of us have been like, oh, okay. And it's funny because one of the all-time great re-signing decisions was Kevin Owens deciding to stay with WWE during a period where it wasn't so easy to decide to stay with WWE. And he made an all-time great decision. He got to wrestle Stone Cold Steve Austin. He got to main event WrestleMania with one of his best friends. And now it looks like they're going to face each other at WrestleMania again. And like, dude, they've done this before. It's just, dude, they did it in front of a half empty Raymond James, dude, and they got 9 minutes. And now we're talking about an era where they can have a fucking PWG match out there. Brother, and that's what I want to see.
Brother, this is like the first great NXT black and gold feud.
Yeah.
You know, Paul Levesque wants to properly platform these guys in the right way. And listen, man, I don't want to sell people on a false dream and a false hope, but they've been very heavy-handed on the fact that Sami Zayn wants the championship.
Yeah.
I don't think Sean, I don't know about you, Cody Rhodes, John Cena, just those two names stands on the marquee by itself.
I agree.
Championship. You, Rock and Hogan, what was on the poster? Icon versus Icon. That was the poster. To me, we should be able to create numerous big matches at Mania. So why don't we use the belt and the historical significance of Sami and Kevin Owens to make another big match alongside Icon versus Icon? Cody versus John Cena, a man who in his final year has a whole year to try to pursue this championship. Why blow that off in April when you can have him chase and chase and chase and chase and fail and chase and try and chase and chase? And then finally,
and he's facing the clock as he does
it. He's facing the clock. It's like the sands of time are running out on him. He's facing his own mortality. Maybe it's just not meant to be. Maybe it is what it is. I'll retire at number 16. I'm at peace. And someone slaps him, and maybe it's Randy or some shit. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're John Cena, goddammit. Win that last championship. And in his last match, he says, you know what, folks? I got one last shot. Like the Eminem song says in Lose Yourself, you got one shot. He has one shot to win the big one. He does it. He's the best ever. He loses. Oh, well, sometimes it doesn't work that way. And John Cena goes in there, December, last chance to win the belt. He fucking does it and retires in grace and puts the thing down. I'm just saying. Aditya, you can boo all you want, Aditya. You can boo all you want. I'm right.
Listen, I feel like if they don't do that, which, by the way, in the promo, Kevin Owens says, you know, I was very hurt when you teamed up with Roman Reigns. I was very hurt to see that. I was hurt when Seth Rollins did it. He's like, but I know why you did it. It's because you did with him the same thing that you've done with me. You forgave him, and that's because you're a good person. He gaslit this man, and like, it wasn't the scathing promo that you expected. In fact, Kevin Owens is like, he came here and was like, you know, listen, a lot of people have been expecting me to come out and attack you. He didn't say this verbatim. He's like, but a lot of people expected some violent attack. But no. I want you to do well because you deserve to do well because you're my best friend, and I want you to win the Royal Rumble. I want to beat Cody Rhodes, and I want us to main event WrestleMania because Kevin Owens has had 8 WrestleMania matches. 4 of them have involved Sami Zayn already. They were in a ladder match together. They teamed together in Bryan Danielson's return match. For the love of God, they faced each other at Raymond James and they main evented WrestleMania together. So they have literally done the we're throwing them all together match. They have done the one-on-one match. They have done a main event tag team match. And they have done this legend is coming out of retirement. Let's see what we got. Okay, they can do anything. And we've also seen Kevin Owens completely left off WrestleMania as a healthy scratch. So this is incredible. Nico says, all love to Cody, but brother, I'm going to need you to drop that title to KO at the Rumble. Need Sammy KO at Mania. Well, Nico, I don't disagree with you, but also Kevin Owens lies on occasion and he might actually hate Sami Zayn.
Yes. Yes. And I think he actively resents Sammy for working with these guys again. And maybe it's a situation where once he sees that Sammy is no longer used to him, he fucking power bombs him on the apron. And he's just like, you stupid son of a bitch. You think I still considered you a friend after you played in my face and went out there and threw that fucking one up when you convinced me to fight these guys? Fuck you. I can't say fuck on Netflix, but he could say screw you. And then all that, but very plausible. And I'm telling you again, man, these guys main evented Mania for the tag belts. And people, I remember, Sean, there were some people at the time that were being a little bad faith about that. And they're going, oh man, this is a downgrade. You know, they can't go.
Yeah.
They're going to have to go for the tag belts, but they showed you tag wrestling can feel just as special, just as big, just as incredible. That match was magic with the Usos. One of the greatest WrestleMania matches of all time. Now it's time. They've done everything. Sammy said it in the promo. I'm at peace if I don't win the championship, but I still really want it. WWE has a massive opportunity here to cement Kevin Owens, Sean, main evented Mania against Stone Cold Steve Austin. 2 main events. Kevin Steen from Ring of Honor. Who would have fucking thought Kevin Steen, the guy that people made fun of his physique and this and that and his background, that guy main evented 2 Manias with Steve Austin and for the tag belts. Imagine a third one. Imagine night one close with these two guys, El Generico, Kevin Steen, now Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn for the big one, the championship's biggest prize. Like you said, they go full fucking PWG in that match, have a classic. Dave gives it 5 stars. I mean, what is there left to do? What is there left to do? From that point onwards, Kevin Owens, he'd be known as one of the greatest American wrestlers of all time, frankly.
You know what I suspect will happen at WrestleMania? whatever Kevin Owens wants, because again, if it's been contract time, he's like, well, I saw what I got last time. Let me see what I can get this time. Because Tony Khan wanted Kevin Owens. He was one that got away. And yeah, Black Yakuza says, thing is, if Sammy turns on Cody, that makes him a heel. You have to find a way for KO to win while keeping Sammy sympathetic. I believe in their ability to tell a story. And one of my favorite things about Kevin Owens is he loves to make sense of everything. He loves the challenge of let me be the guy that closes this gap in logic. And I am confident in their ability to do that. And Andy says, Sammy's delivery was great. Kevin, even better. Struck balance to give you subtext without hamming it up. Layered TV from two of the best. Incredible. Bad Robot also says, pulling for EO to win the Rumble. And we get Rhea and EO at Mania. They had the moment with both holding the title. Maybe they were testing for feedback. I just don't see right now where they are angling for EO to win the Royal Rumble. However, I don't necessarily see them angling for anybody to. You got Charlotte return vignettes, and maybe Becky comes back, and an awful lot of stuff like that.
Yeah. I think EO can absolutely make her way to Rhea. It doesn't have to be through the Rumble. It could very much be through the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
I have this sneaking suspicion that a horsewoman is going to win the Rumble. Just my sneaking suspicion. It's not rooted in anything, and I promise.
I mean, listen, I think if there is one year that you have an NXT talent win the Royal Rumble, it should be this year for the women. You can say, watch NXT on Tuesdays, and forever on your little by the numbers, you can say, an NXT talent won. And whether it's even Roxanne, like before being called up, or if it's any of those girls, you can put them against somebody. It doesn't have to be Rhea. It could be Tiffany or whoever. It's probably, you know, listen, Charlotte and Tiffany is right there. But I would have somebody like that do it, challenge, lose in a valiant effort, and you always have that to promote.
But I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be, and I know it's superstar set, so it's kind of tough this year. I wouldn't be opposed to a fucking NXT male call up winning the men rumble. The problem is the NXT men's division is terrible. I don't know
it's bad.
It's pretty terrible, but yeah.
Seth also met with Sami Zayn, and Cross appears behind Seth. I dig what Cross is doing. Like, it is like a Sean O'Hare light type of thing. And I think that he is like the perfect guy like that. There's a combination of a couple characters that I always thought would work really well. Do you remember Just Joe?
No.
Okay. Just Joe was a guy named Joe E. Legend. And he was a buddy of, I think, like Edge and Christian and all those guys way back in the day. Canadian guy. And he had been signed to a deal, but he didn't really wrestle or anything. And he would pop up here and there, and he would just stir up shit. And they'd be like, he would show up and he'd be like, yes, I just overheard this guy talking this crazy shit about you. And they're like, thanks, but who are you? And he'd be like, I'm just Joe. And then he would leave. I love that for Karrion Kross, to where he is just like a shit stirrer who occasionally wrestles, because good at it.
The best part of Kross is it's a borderline satirical how someone who he wrestled before will turn heel months later and he'll be like, I saw it coming. TikTok. Yes. I planted the seed. I knew it. And his hot wife.
It's the most zero news pilled shit I've ever seen. Where the zero news guy would post a picture of every wrestler that was out with an injury, and then 9 months later they would return, and he'd be like, "Look, guys, I did it. I reported it."
And in this case, you know, it's almost like they've canonized that thing that he does on Twitter, because Seth Rollins is going to turn heel, Sean, and he's going to be like, I saw it coming. Friendships, motherhood. It's all a lie. It's all a farce. I knew it. Seth Rollins, he falls victim to the same thing that all of mankind falls into. TikTok. And it's like, all right, man. Sure. You know?
Karthik says, do we know if Kevin's extended for sure? I keep asking, and like he won't say for sure, but listen, that guy's signed. He's in a major, major program here. Kyle Fowler sent a super sticker. Penta showed up, a dope ass entrance, incredible entrance, faced Pete Dunne. It was a fine match. I wouldn't say it reached the slapper levels of which I anticipated. Penta's doing a lot of selling. A lot of selling through 2 weeks. More than I expected.
Let's see if this kid can show he can work. You know, I'm sure there's a little bit of, you know, I got to tell you, Hunter, look, I know they like to do all that Lucha Libre over there in AEW, but I think that maybe over here you got to show that he could fucking work. And then you got Michael Hayes across from Bruce going like, I like Lucha Libre. You know what I mean? I'm a big fan. But same thing, I think this guy should sell a fucking leg or some shit. So let's agent the match that way. And Hunter's just like, I mean, that is what we do. So we got to see if he can do what we do. And then they're watching him sell, and they're like, man, he can definitely do what we do. What we do over here, he can do what we do. And we do what he does.
A word that I can't pronounce, an arrangement says, do you all think Penta and Logan Mania is possible? Well, it's so funny because I think part of the heat of Logan Paul is what we mentioned, where they're like, he's full time now, and he's not done anything but some vignettes.
It's like a piss take. I'm watching, like, what are they talking about? He's not here.
Yes, exactly. Like, it's very weird. But look, Penta defeated Pete Dunne. It's all right. But
just nice to see him, and it's nice to see him do his moves. You know, it's just nice to watch him. And
what do you think of Penta does at Mania?
It's a great question. That is a great question.
Because he is a baby face. He is not facing Rey Mysterio.
Right. He has three options, I think. Either he ends up in that celebrity multi-man tag that has fucking Bad Bunny in it. It's option A.
That'd be great.
B, he's doing a Penta driver off a ladder as like five other guys are like standing and watching the stats, and it's a chaos. And he's one of the guys in the multi-man ladder match that they like to do every fucking year. Or C, he gets so fucking over that they just give him a highlighted singles match at somebody. So
listen, a sincerely huge match would be Bad Bunny, Rey Mysterio, and Penta against Logan Paul and New Day.
That'd be interesting.
I think that would be
you the know type what I like. I dig that. I like that.
You get your entertainment tonight's watching that. You get a lot of that because Logan Paul and Bad Bunny in the same match is something. Logan Paul on his own, it's almost hit like the Rousey territory. It's not buzzworthy that he's wrestling anymore. He's just He's a wrestler.
Plus, there was a novelty to his early matches because like, whoa, this guy could do that wrestling move? Oh my God. He's not judged as a celebrity wrestler anymore. Right? He's just a guy that does wrestling sometimes.
And people saying keep Penta away from the LWO. I'm not talking about putting him in the LWO necessarily. I'm talking about putting him next to Bad Bunny, who is a major star, and then putting him next to Rey Mysterio, who is a major star. And somebody says, what about Damian Priest? So if you wanted to work them in there in some capacity.
You could definitely do that if you want. You could do some listen, we need to bring back, Sean, fun tags with like a lot of fucking people in the undercard.
Yeah.
Like, dude, remember that showcase four-way tag that they did 2 years ago that had like Alpha Academy, Street Profits, Viking Raiders, and like Monstrum and Ricochet? Let's just do cool shit. Listen, man, let's just say for whatever reason, Logan Paul is just like, I am Logan Paul and this is my covenant. And it's like Team Logan. And it's just a gang of assholes. You know what I mean? Heels on the roster. And then, you know, what if Priest is like, well, I'm going to represent for my Latinos, and it's me and Andrade and Rey and Penta and Bad Bunny. And then it's just, you know, like you have fun and it's 10 minutes and they're doing cool shit. Let's just do, because listen, there's so many talented people on the roster. There's so many limited spots. Even at a two-night event, they're probably going to do like seven matches on each night or something around that line. So listen, man, let's just get some fun multi-mans in the undercards.
We got Will Chisholm saying, like how I always like Punk, but I love him shooting on Hogan. That was phenomenal. This is a very passionate, aggressive CM Punk interview. It wasn't a passive aggressive, like I'm going to make a little reference to that thing I did in AEW. It was, I'm aggressive. I want to kick people's asses and I don't care who I piss off.
You want to know why, Sean?
Yeah.
It's because this is Punk's element. This is the pro wrestling that he understands. This was WCW. This is Mean Gene Okerlund, 1994 to roughly 96, going, I'm here live with Sting, the icon Sting, or whatever that one, you know, Sting is just like, Mean Gene, I'm fired up. We're all hot in Atlanta right now. Crowd is going crazy behind him and shit. And he's just like, well, it's showtime. And that's wrestling. You know, I love promos in the format of an interview like this. Interviewer, fired up wrestler, hot crowd behind him. The energy is there. They're looking right at the camera. I prefer that personally to WWE's standardized approach that they've done for now close to 30 years, which is just guy walks out, stands in the ring, has their little fucking soliloquy that he does, or two guys staring across from each other having a verbal rap battle, so to speak. Now, sometimes that works, but like, man, this is wrestling. You know what I mean? And I found out, Sean, right before we went live, that Punk was a big proponent of this segment and wanted to do it this way and insisted in doing it this way. And he's on to something, because guess what? Jackie Redmond and him, there is a real chemistry there. Something there about that woman walking out there and being a real journalist and asking him questions and then just be like, you know what, Jackie? Let me just talk my shit. And he talks his shit. And she stands there and she's just like, man, he's talking his shit. And it's awesome. And it doesn't need to be more than 2 minutes, because guess what, Sean? Wrestling back in the day, when you had to fit these shows in 45 fucking minutes or whatever the fuck, badasses walked out there and got to the point and got their point across in 2 fucking minutes. That's what he did. He came out there, said, man, fuck Roman, fuck Cena, Sammy, LOL, Hogan, fuck him. You know what I mean? I'm going to win the Rumble. I'm CM Punk. You know, like, that's wrestling.
This is the stuff that I like to see from CM Punk. This is why he was one of my favorite performers of all time. Like, this got me pumped up. It's got me ready to see
it. I was fucking shadow boxing for this shit.
And him just burying Hogan along the way. So phenomenal. He knows his audience. Oh man. Guys, get a super chat, get a humper chat in, heading down the home stretch. Dame says, it'd be a slap in the face in EO's face if she didn't win the Rumble. I'm sorry, she's been carrying that Raw division all year just for Charlotte to come in and steal it. What I think they should do with Charlotte is what they used to do with Roman Reigns back when Vince McMahon was aware of how terrible of a booker he was, but still would do the, we'll fucking do it. Don't you dare us. We'll do it. And then for like 4 straight years, Roman Reigns gets eliminated last. And then they would just still give Roman whatever push. I think they should do that with Charlotte. It's like when John Cena won the Rumble in 08. Like, I remember my cousin and I were watching that and we're like, anybody but Triple H. Us not knowing that Bobby Lashley was already gone, we're like, please, Lashley, please return. And John Cena, of whom we didn't like, came back and we're like, oh, thank God. It's going to be him.
Yeah.
It's going to be him.
Over the years, there were a lot of little Rumble tricks like that where it's like,
yeah,
technically it's a person that the hardcores don't like, but what if we tease this one that they really don't want to see win? And then they don't win. You're like, all right, Randy Orton beats Roman. And you're like, ah, you know, like all those ones. So, yeah.
We had a Lyra vignette, but we closed the show with Seth Rollins defeating Drew McIntyre. They got some time. Had a what I thought was a kick-ass match. Like this one. Like,
I just like watching two main event wrestlers do the dance, Sean. And there was a lot of Raws in the fall, winter period last year where the main eventers, all they do on the show is talk. I want to see you wrestle. You know, like, it'll be main eventers talking for like 20 minutes. And the main event is like, no offense, like fucking like the Judgment Day versus like some jackasses. And it's like, can the top guys wrestle? Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, these are main event wrestlers on Raw going out there, roll the ball out. 20 minutes, do your fucking match. And this was some good action. I enjoyed watching this. This was good shit. Seth Rollins was a nice chop these days, you know, and just good physical action here. Wasn't in love with some of the monologuing at the very end of this. Like, they were having all this, this awesome match, and at the very end, it's like they have to shout the story at me where it's just like, I'm not you. You're not going to change me. Oh, and Drew McIntyre just kind of like, oh, this is my part of the plot that I'm telling you now. You know, I don't
need this. This is a very inconvenient time to have this discussion.
It's so stilted. You're having a badass match. Falcon arrows, superplex, dives, lariats. And at the very end, it's just like, this is the part of the plot where I give my exposition punch.
Dude, one of my catch wrestling coaches was watching, I think it was one of the Bloodline matches with me. And he's like, imagine if you were looking for like instruction and instead I was yelling at you, You'll never get over what your father said to you in the third grade.
Stop insulting people's intelligence, man. I think the best wrestlers can convey the story that they're telling physically and with their body language and their face. I like these fans are not stupid. You know, I'm sure that Drew McIntyre resents the fact that Seth Rollins doesn't see it his way. Seth Rollins is fighting what's really naturally happening, which is his moral realignment right now. I think we can understand that subtext. I don't need Seth Rollins to tell you like, to tell me like, I'll never choose you, you know, Luke Skywalker style, and him just being Drew McIntyre being like, join the dark side. I gotta just fucking wrestle. Otherwise, though, very good match. I'm happy that they booked it. It was really strong. These guys don't miss when they wrestle each other. In the post-match angle where Sami Zayn accidentally heel kicks Seth Rollins, again, a little too theatrical for me, not my kind of wrestling, you know what I mean? But from a story standpoint of what's happening narratively, what's happening right now is more things are happening that will cause Seth Rollins to snap. And I'm very much looking forward to the time where he does that and he finds himself on the same side as a Kevin Owens and a Drew McIntyre. That continues. That's been set up for a couple weeks now. And I'm excited for these six-man fucking tags, baby.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the best eras of in-ring wrestling in WWE history was that year after The Shield debuted, and you would just get those six-man tag matches that would go 20 minutes on Raw. Oh. And it's like, like Cody and Dustin emerged, and like even Del Rio was having good like six-man tag matches during that period. And the close of this show is one of those things that like it wasn't for me in the same reasons that you mentioned it, but I do recognize it is for this audience that WWE has, and they eat that up. So I definitely understand that. But that was WWE Raw. A reminder, guys, I got interviews with Swoggle, with Missa Kate up this week. I got one with Francine. Almost an hour we talked. I was so excited to do that. We've been working to nail that one down for a while. That's coming up next week. Had AJ Francis. We had Myla Grace this week. We had all kinds of people. Richard Holiday last week. But we dropped a new style of video. Mike Straw, who's been with Fightful on and off for years, did a video about the New Japan Exodus of 2016. Go to our YouTube, check it out. I did post it on Twitter as well, but we're going to produce a lot more of those, some evergreen videos for you guys. Let us know what you want covered. But Ibu, tell the people where they can find you.
Well, you guys can find me at Backup Hangman on Twitter. Also follow at SelfMadePW. I am one of the people among Rob, Chris O'Bread, and AO that created this Discord community, which has been so fun, so awesome. And we've had a lot of fun just watching wrestling with everybody. My favorite thing about the Discord, honestly, and there are scoops in there and all that type of stuff, right? But honestly, the cool part for me, Sean, is I'm showing a lot of people wrestling that they've never been exposed to. And I think it feels like a potluck or Thanksgiving or something, because there's stuff that I've never seen that someone will recommend to me. There's stuff that I've seen that people have never seen before. Last week we're watching Okada Omega, and I'm thinking everybody has seen this. It's a seminal match with wrestling. And I said, hey, who has never seen this match? And like hundreds of people said, I've never seen it. I'm like, holy fuck. And by the end of it, like, oh my God, this is mind blowing. So listen, join the community. The link is in the bio at SelfMadePW. The Self-Made podcast will be up this Sunday, and I will be on the Russell Pierce channel on Tuesday, tomorrow, 2:30, to review Raw with Rob.
Guys, thank you all so much. Until next time, we're out.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.